The New York Knicks are coming off two great wins, one down in Miami and one blowout win in Detroit. And the starters look absolutely incredible. So let's talk about it.
Let's run that intro.
Basketball.
You're listening to the Knicks Nation podcast, where we've got all your Knicks needs covered.
Puts up a three. Bang! Bang! He ties the game.
Now, live from the city that never sleeps, here are your hosts, Anthony and Chris.
What's going on, Knicks Nation? I'm your host, Anthony, joined by my podcast co-host, Chris. We are back for another weekly edition of the Knicks Nation podcast. This is episode 85. 15 more episodes until episode 100. Cannot wait for that one. Let's go. Chris, how are you?
Doing good. Wish we ran the table, man, over the last three games, but I'm feeling good about my Knicks. We're playing extremely well, and I feel like we can get better. But, Ant, how are you feeling tonight? How's it going?
Feeling great. Knicks are rolling. Two great wins versus the Detroit Pistons and the Miami Heat. I actually attended that Miami Heat game. It was absolutely incredible environment. Knicks fans travel a lot. Like, they travel. I mean, that stadium was like 50-50. Heat fans, 50-50. You know, and 50-50. I can't even talk. 50-50 Heat fans. And the Knicks fans as well. Shout out to the gentleman I saw at the end of the game. If you're listening, shout out to you, sir. But yeah, man, I mean, the Knicks look good, Chris. Balance. The starting five has looked incredible. Jalen Brunson's coming off his best game of the season. Karl Anthony Towns was absolutely incredible versus Miami Heat. OG Anunoby's coming off his great offensive game versus the Detroit Pistons. Mikal looks good. Josh Hart looks good. I'm excited, man. Things are looking up for this team. So how are you feeling about this squad?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. Look, we saw Karl Anthony Towns drop, what, 44? Then Jalen Brunson, obviously doing Jalen Brunson things, drops 36 points on the Pistons. You know, as he should. 6 3-pointers made for Jalen Brunson. So that was good to see because I felt like he was, you know, still trying to find his shot from three. So I like to see that going. Mikal Bridges has been steady for us after that, you know, debacle about his jump shot being the different now and him tinkering with it. He's probably been the most steady of everybody at this point in time. And Josh Hart, right? A lot of talk about Josh Hart. Should he be in the lineup? Should he not be? Should he come off the bench? It's looking pretty damn good so far. Granted, it's only been five games, but, you know, This is what I thought we would see, you know, when the Knicks start clicking. And the scary thing is, in my opinion, they still got a lot more to go as far as gelling together as a team. So I think it's going to get even better.
Yeah, look, five games in, the Knicks are 3-2 on this young season. And in all three of their wins, they've shown you their upside. They've shown you their balance on their starting five. Even defensively, they've been good as well. As always, we have the stats and everything. We have like the underlying numbers that we'll get to later on in the podcast. But I appreciate every single one of you joining us here tonight. Couple of announcements. So if you want to become a member, part of the Knicks Nation Society, you can join us live on the live streams or join the post games as well. So appreciate you guys if you wanted to become a member. Subscribe to the channel. As always, if you're on Apple and Spotify, please leave us a review. It really helps out on that side of the spectrum. And as always, we greatly appreciate that. Next week, the podcast will be on Monday, November 11th, because the New York Knicks have a game on Sunday. So the pod is on Monday. So, all right, now let's get into it, Chris. So, I don't know, man. The Pistons games, obviously, the thing a lot of people were saying, look, it's the Detroit Pistons. They stink. Yeah. But I don't know, man. This team, like you said, Mikal Bridges, I mean, I guess we can get into his underlying numbers right now that I have. Mikal Bridges is shooting 62% from mid-range and 56% from corner three. He's just looked incredible. And I've said this in the post-game. The balance has just been incredible for this team. There's going to be games where, you know, OG and Obi's going to be the odd man out offensively. Mikal's going to be the odd man out offensively. But they're going to obviously impact the game in many different ways, and they can. But what we've seen from this Knicks team is they're sharing the rock, two straight games with 30-plus assists, which is absolutely incredible. Yeah. Four straight games with everyone scoring in double digits. Incredible. And I didn't really expect this to happen in game five. I really expected this to happen in game 30 or game 40. But if this is happening in game five, what is going to happen in game? I mean, the sky's the limit for this team, right?
Yeah. It feels that way. It feels that way because, look, like I mentioned, it's only been five games and already we're starting to see, you know, what we really thought we were going to see with this team, which is a spread out scoring. It could be anybody's night, right? Anybody's night to step up and handle, you know, be the big scorer. And the beauty about this team is that you don't really need that. You could have somebody drop 15 or have everybody drop 15 and it'd be enough simply because the defense is there, right?
Yeah.
And even on the defensive end, I've seen big strides from this team so far in five games, you know, versus what it looked like game one to game five. And that's with Cat playing the five, which honestly, I had a lot of questions about because, you know, history says he's a four, not a five. But so far, not so bad. You know, is he perfect? You know, defensively, no. But, you know, he's grabbing boards. He's getting stops. And that's really all that matters at this point.
Yeah, and speaking of Karl-Anthony Towns, so Towns is shooting 65% from three and 55% from mid-range. And he is also grabbing a defensive rebound 34% of the time. He's number one at that rate. So elite rebounder to start this season, elite shooter, elite mid-range shooter. He's just been awesome. And the Knicks had an issue with kind of finding him the ball. His attempts were down, and then that Heat game came, and when he absolutely dominated Bam Adebayo, and then even versus the Pistons, he was absolutely incredible. So the Knicks can build off of those games. And, yeah, man, Cat, the thing I love about Cat is the Knicks are using him in many different ways, low post, threes, mid-range. He is becoming that passer that we thought he was going to become, yes. Right?
Yes.
Passing the ball.
People thought I was crazy, man, when I said he was an underrated passer. But, look, you saw with the Detroit game, he had, what, seven assists? Yeah. And there were some beautiful passes. Beautiful passes. So, look, Karl-Anthony Towns, man. I'll keep saying it. I don't love his contract, but the player himself, he's going to transform the offense that we run on the New York Knicks. Like, it's a much-needed modern offense, in my opinion.
It is, and this tweet is from me. Knicks starters have logged 87 minutes together and hold a plus 20 net rating, second best in the NBA. Lineups with 75-plus minutes and the highest in the Eastern Conference. So they have a plus 20 net rating. I think the only team that has a better net rating is the Sacramento Kings. But, yeah, look, coming into the season, I thought the Knicks were obviously going to be missing Isaiah Hartenstein's passing. Obviously, Cat can offer that and more. But it seems like him and Jalen Brunson have a chemistry. A lot of times he's caught Jalen Brunson cutting. And the way the Knicks are running their offense, there was a play in the Pistons games where every single starter touched the ball. If they weren't open, they were passing the ball to the open man, and it wound up going to an open Mikal Bridges in the corner, and he hit the shot. But that's the upside of this Knicks offense. You know, that's why they traded for Cat, and that's why Chris and I both think, and everyone in here thinks, that the Knicks can go far this season. Like I said, this is game five, and the New York Knicks are already showing you glimpses of what they can be. So next game is against the Rockets, right? So still on the road, Rockets and the Hawks. So just keep building the building steps, right? Snowball effects. You want these games to carry over into the next, and the Heat game carried over into the Pistons game. Typical trap game, traveling from Miami to Detroit, but the Pistons decided, you know, they didn't want to play that night. And the Knicks were just dominant in all facets of the game. So snowball effect, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, we got to keep it rolling, literally keep it rolling. And yeah, man, I don't know, Detroit, man, no matter what they try, it just seems like they just can't get out of their own way. But that Houston game, that's going to be interesting. You know, Houston's a good, young, up and coming team. So we're going to get tested there, you know, especially at the five spot with Sengun.
Yes, we are. Appreciate every single one of you in here. Smash the subscribe button and hit the like button. Smash the like button for a great Knicks start to the season. So, three-point percentage, Chris. The Knicks are number one in the NBA. I think they're still number one in the NBA. This graphic was from yesterday. I wonder if it updated or not. But either way, number one, top four, doesn't matter. 41% from three to start the season. And remember, before the Heat game happened, they weren't really attempting that many threes. And then seemed like something clicked offensively with this team during the Heat game. And obviously during the Pistons game, they attempted a lot more threes. They're making a lot more threes. And this team is capable of making a lot of threes. I mean, you have guys, even Josh Hart has been playing incredible. I mean, like I've been saying, if he's open, I want him to shoot it. I don't care if he's, I want Josh Hart to shoot the ball if he's open, because that just makes him, you know, just get his confidence going, because he's been playing obviously amazing, but it's a good shot. If it's a good shot, I don't care if you miss it, shoot the ball. And Josh Hart has been playing well.
Were you surprised that the Knicks weren't shooting as many threes to start? I mean, I was personally, but I wonder what are your thoughts on that?
I was surprised, but that Cavs game, that was a tough loss. And that game just, the way the flow of that game, it was just like offensively, the Knicks, obviously they kind of took the pedal off the gas and late in the third and in the fourth quarter. And Cavs are playing them good defensively. And but at the same time, I was like, look, it's game number three. So, I mean, this team will get it. I mean, they have great three-point shooters all around. And, you know, obviously we're still fairly new with this whole starting five. I mean, still fairly new. But versus the Heat, they found something. And that's a good defensive team. You know, Miami's a good team in the Eastern Conference. No slouch. But I think they found something during that Heat game. And that kind of, obviously excelled their confidence.
Yeah.
Were you surprised?
Well put. Yeah, I mean, I really thought this Knicks team was just going to, especially adding Karl-Anthony Towns, I thought we were going to be taking a bunch of threes. So seeing it, obviously now seeing it with the Detroit game is promising, and obviously hitting a lot of them too. But I agree with you. That Cleveland game, our offense was just kind of like you said, we took our foot off the pedal. And we just got stagnant, and it just didn't look right. That the whole vibes off that game was just weird. But with that said, we had a 13-point lead that we should have held on to, and unfortunately we didn't. But, you know, that's in the past now.
Hey, man, we did, and we could build off of that. You know, later on in the season, if we get the Cavs again, I'm sure we'll be motivated to beat them. But, you know, it was only game number three of the season. And look, the Cavaliers are undefeated on the season. They're playing well. So, but, you know, it is what it is. It's the NBA, right? So just chalk it up to a loss. And the Knicks have improved since that game. And that's all that matters. Above the break, three-pointers this season. Karl-Anthony Towns, 11-4-16. Man, can this big man shoot the ball? We got a center that can shoot the ball. We got a center that can pass. We got a center that can give you everything on the low post, rebound, Chris. Oh, man, watching Cat play, I mean, didn't really catch a lot of Minnesota games, but watching him play now that he's on the team, boy, he's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of, oh, man, I didn't know he could do that.
Yeah.
Type of, you know, things for me.
Yes, and through five games, Karl-Anthony Towns, this is from Tommy Beer, is averaging 22 points and 11 rebounds a night while shooting 55% from the floor, 65% from three-point range, and 92% from the free throw line. We love to see that, 92% from the free throw line. A big man that could do it all, man. And obviously, he's grabbing rebound after rebound after rebound. So shout out to Kat. Shout out to the guys. Hit some of these comments. Appreciate every single one of you hopping in here. Darlene says, Josh Hart is getting more comfortable shooting the basketball. Tony is in here as well. Yes, Darlene. Josh Hart is getting way more comfortable in this offense. And what a 180 that he hit from preseason until now. And he's just been looking like the normal Josh Hart himself. And, you know, I wanted Deuce to start. I'm not a coach. That's why, you know, I'm here talking to you guys. But Deuce, I mean, has been incredible off the bench as well. His steals has been up this season too. But yeah, Chris, Josh Hart, He's obviously that the glue piece in the starting five that runs fast breaks, grabs rebounds, and now he's hitting his threes. And even his mid-range shot this year, believe it or not. I think I have a stat here with his mid-range, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Josh Hart is shooting 75% for mid-range this season. What? Come on, Josh Hart. Let's go.
I'll take it. But I think, again, most importantly, you know, he did mention he was going to work on his shot in the offseason. Clearly he has, and he feels more comfortable. But again, even if he's not making the three, the fact that he's just taking the three without hesitating is huge, in my opinion, especially with this starting five. Because if you have any, if they're able to just stop on Josh Hart and be like, we're not going to defend him, you know, he's not gonna put the ball up. That changes everything, in my opinion. You know, so his confidence is much needed, and he's on a roll, man. This is the Josh Hart we all envisioned, and this is the Josh Hart we need for this starting lineup, man. He pushes the pace, and that makes us dangerous, man.
He does. Couple of Knicks updates. So Precious Achiuwa has been back practicing. I think he was limited in his practicing. So let's get an applause for that. Shout out to Precious Achiuwa. Hopefully you come back really soon. We miss you. Campaign is doubtful versus the Houston Rockets. So that will open up some time. Tyler Kolek will probably get in that rotation since Campaign was doubtful. They didn't really see the play where he got hurt on, Chris, but another hamstring injury. Those suck. Hopefully Campaign can get out and be healthy soon. But Precious Achiuwa, he's coming soon. Let's go.
We need Precious out there, man. Sims showed me a little bit of something against Detroit, but, you know, I miss Precious out there. And I'm not so sure. You really think Tyler Kolek's going to be the one to step in for Campaign?
I do. You don't?
I think we're probably going to see a little bit more of Deuce McBride, if anything.
Obviously, yeah, we will. But Kolek, because Campaign, I do think it'll be Kolek, but I think it'll be Kolek on, you know, obviously limited minutes. But, you know, Tom Thibodeau has kind of been going with the 8-man rotation, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But I do think if Campaign is out, I do think we'll see Kolek and Deuce out there with Sims as well. But hey, you know, Kolek has proven that, you know, he can, obviously he has great vision. And even there in the Pistons game, I think he had two buckets at the end of that game. Yeah. So, but I do think it'll be Kolek. I do.
I hope so. I want to see more of these young guys. Obviously, you know, if it's a close game and things like that, I could see them not going. You know, I could see Tibbs kind of reserving himself. But, yeah, it would be nice to see Kolek out there some more.
Speaking of rookies, so Ariel Hakpori, Chris, got in the game versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I thought that, okay, this is kind of like the turning of the tide. It seems like he is going to overtake Jericho Sims in this rotation. But then the next game, Davis put Sims back in. And then the next game, Davis put Sims back in. And, Chris, Jericho Sims has actually played better. You know, there was glimpses in the Heat game. Brunson finally caught him on a lob. And the Knicks are missing him with a lot of lobs. Well, not a lot. I shouldn't say that. Maybe like two or three that I've counted that the Knicks have missed him on. I know Brunson missed him versus the Detroit Pistons on a lob. But I've seen little bits of glimpses from Sims. I know I want to see Hakpori too, but I've seen little bits of glimpses from him that he's getting better. Rebounding, he's going up strong with the boards. So I still want Hakpori to see Hakpori. But I gotta shout out Jericho Sims because he's been playing okay. Like, he hasn't been terrible to start the season like he was.
I was kind of shocked, though. You know, I thought Hakpori was taking his spot. I thought he took Sims' spot. I thought Tibbs just said, all right, enough. Let's just throw out Hakpori. He's been practicing well, whatever it may be. Let's throw him out there. And he did good against Cleveland. Granted, I felt like maybe they kept him out there a bit too long. But, yeah, man, Sims did show me a little bit something against Detroit, you know? I think they also missed him when he was running the floor and he got ahead of his defender and they just missed him for a wide open dunk on the fast break. Yeah. So Sims has definitely been putting a lot more effort. You see a lot more energy out of him. which I felt he wasn't showing early on, which is crazy because that's kind of his role, right? You know, go out there, show energy, defend, grab boards. You're starting to see the Sims that we expected to see. So maybe, do you think it was just a, let's throw Huck Porty out there against the Cavs and let Jericho think that maybe his job is up for grabs?
If it lit a fire under Sims, it worked. And sometimes you got to do that to these guys, right? You got to show them, like, look, you have Huck Porty here that's been chomping at the bit, has been playing well, and Sims, you know, got another chance, and credit to Jericho Sims for taking advantage of that. But, you know, it's just a good problem to have. Look, Huck Porty, I still think Huck Porty has tons of upside. And I know he was, you know, the last pick in round two, but what we've seen this year is he's not afraid of anything, dunking on people. That dunk versus the Cavs shouldn't have been an offensive foul, but that's neither here or there. But, yeah, man, I just wanted to shout out Sims because this rotation, it seems like Thibs has been locked on eight men. And my question to you is, do you feel like the eight-man rotation this early in the season, do you like that?
Not this early. To be honest, not this early, simply because, you know, I feel like, look, I get it. Not every game is going to be a blowout per se, but I do feel like there's spots where you can give guys a little bit more rest, you know, maybe not just burn them out straight away.
Yeah.
And not to say that Tibbs is burning out any players or anything like that. I don't want to drive that narrative, you know, that stigma he has attached to him even further. But I just think, you know, early on, you know, kind of what I was hoping was that we'd use some of these guys to prevent, you know, playing guys too long or just to prevent injury in general, you know, because we got OG Anunoby obviously out there who's seems to have an injury prone history. Guys like Cat as well has also got hurt a lot. Granted, I know there's not the best players on our bench per se to replace these guys, but we're talking about 2-3 minutes here and there, you know? And I think you can throw some of these guys like Kolek, smart rookie nonetheless, but smart player that I'm pretty sure you can survive 2 minutes of Kolek out there, right? But that's my thoughts on that. I feel like the rotation could be opened up a little bit. For it to be an eight man already is a little bit crazy to me.
And look, the guys aren't playing heavy minutes, obviously, versus the Pistons. You had, I think, Cat played less than 30 minutes. It was a blowout. Got in there late in the fourth. Didn't really know why he subbed Cat back in there. Brunson didn't play majority of all of the fourth. The Celtics game, starters didn't play the fourth. But I think the Precious injury has kind of, you know, I don't know. Like, I agree with you. I feel like he can get in there, maybe some Dattier in there. He can, you know, maybe sprinkle some Huck Porty with Sims maybe. But, you know, I mean, or Kolek even. But yeah. I guess I want to see how he tinkers with these rotations with Precious back in the fold. Yeah. Because, you know, or even tomorrow. I mean, or even versus the Houston Rockets, I want to see how he, you know, tinkers with the rotation. If there's going to be a no campaign, then is it going to be Kolek? Are we going to see Dattier in there? But the guys aren't playing like heavy minutes. But yeah, I think it is too early for that. But you know, that's just an observation that I wanted to ask you about because I know it was a question that I got asked. And I wanted to see if it was, you know, a concern for you as well.
No, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something that will get better over time, obviously. Yeah. Like you mentioned, we're missing Precious. We got guys out like who knows if Landry Shamet's gonna come on board or even who's the other one that we signed with the G League? Matt Ryan, I believe. Who knows if he comes on board? So look, we are missing, you know, pieces to this team, pieces to the bench. So I think it gets better, but Kind of surprised that still at this point in time, it's an eight-man rotation.
Yes, like Latoria says in the chat, the players aren't playing crazy minutes at all, though. Agree. Yeah. Got a poll in the chat. Which player has impressed you the most in the first five games? I wanted to add OG Anunoby and if you can throw in Deuce McBride in there, but only allowed four choices. Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, Karl-Anthony Towns, Josh Hart. Chris, which player has impressed you the most over these first five games? You can even add Deuce in there, or
I will say I'm not going to pick Carl Anthony Towns. I feel like that's the obvious one simply because I haven't seen much of him. But I'll pick Mikal Bridges because I was scared, man, at the in the preseason. He scared the bejesus out of me, man, with the way he was shooting the ball. And it kind of made you wonder, man. We gave up those picks and everything for this guy. And, oh, man, I know Nets fans were having a field day during the preseason with Mikal Bridges, but he is my he's my pick. He's definitely been balling out, and he's been the most steady hand, in my opinion.
He has been, and his numbers, I'll pull them up in a second. But he's been, you know, I said it earlier, but he's been playing extremely well, man. And versus the Heat game, you know, it didn't really show up scoring-wise in a box score, but he had some timely shots. He hit a three, big three in the third quarter, like OG Anunoby did. And like we said earlier, first time since 1989, all five Knicks starters reached double figures in four straight games. And look, Mikal Bridges is playing awesome, Chris. And, you know, obviously his shot was the talk of the town before the season started. Then the Celtics game started. Then everyone was talking about his shot. That is obviously out of the question anymore. But he's just showing you what he can do, like defensively as well. You don't need to throw OG Anunoby on those guards. You can throw Mikal Bridges on those guards. Mikal is just a jack of all trades. And what the Knicks are doing with Mikal, Chris, is they are playing him the entire first quarter. And then he's playing the first 4 minutes of the second quarter, and he's playing with the bench unit. So the Knicks want to get him involved offensively more with the bench unit. But what we have seen over these last couple of games is that he has been involved with the starters as well. So as time goes on, that would obviously grow. But he's been playing the whole first and, you know, half of the second. Then he gets subbed out and subbed back in the second quarter. So, Mikal, man, balling out.
Yeah. Like I said, steady hand. And that mid-range game of his is deadly. And that in itself, you know, surrounded by three-point shooters, look, it's a recipe for success. You know, it's just a overall style of play that we haven't seen in forever with this Knicks squad, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and even, look, OG Anunoby, Chris, has kind of been, you know, he's been doing it all for the New York Knicks. And in that Heat game, and I know he was a big part of that third quarter comeback, hit back-to-back threes, and versus the Pistons games, you saw him finally get it going offensively. And versus the Cavs game, he could have been dominating. I wanted him to dominate. But as time goes on, these guys are going to get comfortable. And like I said in the post game, there's going to be games where someone's the odd man out. But Thibs has given OG Anunoby his props, saying that this man is literally defending 1 through 5, doing everything on the court. And OG and Mikal have kind of found something over these last couple of games. And that's what you want to see. You know, that's all you want to see is growth in game 5. Imagine game 30 and game 40. That's all you want to see is the growth from these guys.
Yeah, and it's just going to get better and better. And OG Anunoby, look, we've said this many times. A lot of the stuff that he does not come up on the stat sheet, right? It's a lot of the hustle, a lot of the loose balls that he generates, just the lockdown defense, 1 through 5. You know, a lot of things don't show up in the stat sheet, aren't flashy. And in my opinion, his scoring, when he's scoring 20-plus or something like that, that's just like a bonus, like a cherry on top for me. I don't need OG Anunoby to score, you know, 30 a night. That's why we got guys like Brunson. We got guys like Mikal. We got guys like Kat. They can do that, you know? So when OG Anunoby is giving his all on defense and still dropping 20, you know, that's just a plus for me, in my opinion.
And you're right. He doesn't, but he can. And I already saw it on X, like, oh, this is your $200 million player, like 11 points. Like, people just don't watch basketball, and it gets me so frustrated. But I try not to respond to those guys. I mean, it is what it is. But
Well, I mean, let's be real. We didn't pay OG Anunoby that money because he's some offensive dynamo, you know? Does he have untapped potential offensively? Yeah. But we paid him because he's the elite wing defender in the league. You know, you can argue. Could be the top, right?
Yeah.
Hell, we had two of them. So, I mean, that's where he makes his money. And that's why he made his money.
Yeah, and a couple of articles have come out saying that, obviously, he helps the team defense. You've seen it in these, you've seen it all, like during these first five games, you see what he's capable of. And he's just he just wrecks, and he can wreck an entire offensive possession by himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, his offensive game finally got it going versus the Detroit Pistons. And, you know, he can hopefully he can build off that as well. But a couple of more stats here. So Tony says, let me update you guys on the poll in the chat. So we have 71 votes. Appreciate every single one of you voting, hopping in here. Jalen Brunson at 11%. Mikal Bridges at 31%. Karl Anthony Towns at 47%. Josh Hart at 12%. I kind of wanted to vote Josh Hart because of what, you know, obviously he said I'm lost in the preseason and he's just been absolutely incredible. But to me, it's just, it's everybody. Like, I know it's like a cop-out answer, but Tony said in the chat, honestly, the entire team has surprised me. No one player for them to have a complete different lineup with no chemistry is really crazy. Yeah. I mean, look, we've talked about it earlier, Chris. Cat, the trade happened, what, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, something like that, less than a month ago. And for him to be shooting these crazy percentages, and I know it's good, he's going to regress a little bit, but he's a great three-point shooter, as we know of, great free throw shooter. What we've seen so far, he's a great low post player. I mean, great low post player.
That surprised me.
I know it surprised me too, but maybe we didn't just watch him in Minnesota, but he was doing it in Minnesota, but he kind of turned into like this 3-point shooter with Gobert, but he was doing it in Minnesota. But versus the Heat, man, he full package versus Bam. He just showed you he can dominate.
Yeah.
And obviously we talked about his passing earlier. It's just been incredible. Has a sprained hand. Hopefully he's good on that front, but yeah, when Cat and Brunson are playing like that, those are your two, obviously, head of the snake guys. Those two have been feeding off one another. They've shown you that, you know, Brunson has been with the backdoor passes. Cat has found him quite a bit. Mikal has even found Josh Hart or Brunson quite a bit. Mikal's passing has kind of been underrated, too.
Yeah.
So, I love it. It's only up from here, man.
Yeah, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some lows, but I think we're going to experience a lot of highs. And what got me excited, honestly, about Karl-Anthony Towns and his low post game is what you mentioned. He did this against Bam Adebayo, who is one of the premier defenders at that position.
Yeah.
You know, that's somebody who plays everybody tough and usually makes it hell for them. And Karl-Anthony Towns dropped an insane amount of points on them, you know? And, it seems like Karl-Anthony Towns does that, you know, to the Miami Heat from what I was seeing from the broadcast that night. So that's also another nice feather in the cap there. You know, Karl-Anthony Towns has the Miami Heat's number and he's on the Knicks now. So maybe the Heat won't be a problem going forward.
They will. Like you said, there's still going to be nights where, you know, obviously the Knicks are going to go through adversity. We're fully expecting that. There's going to be tough nights for them, but you know, this is why us and the fans and, you know, everyone has been saying this Knicks starting five is amazing. Is great. The upside is tremendous and things can just go up from here. Appreciate every single one of you in the chat. How many people? 127 people joining us here tonight. Appreciate every single one of you subscribe to the channel. Smash the thumbs up button, just chopping it up. Talking Knicks, 3-2, feeling good, back-to-back wins, back-to-back, you know, great wins for the team. Going to Houston now, then Atlanta, road trip continues, more of the same from this squad, and what we've seen are great things. Obviously, there's still room to improve, but we went over these numbers earlier. Josh Hart shooting 75% from the mid-range. Crazy. I think he's only taken 11 shots, but that's still crazy. 3-point shot is there. Cat is shooting 65% from three and 55% from the mid range, and he's grabbing a defensive rebound 34% of the time. Number one at that rate. Brunson, I feel like we're talking about everyone, but Brunson always seems like we expect great things out of Brunson already. So it's like, but we got to talk about him. Obviously.
No, it's kind of funny, right? You know, last season was Brunson was leading everything. But look, this team has a lot of good players on it now. And there's no shade on Jalen Brunson or anything. He's still doing Jalen Brunson things. It's just, you know, there's a lot to cover now, man.
There is. But all right, let's talk about Jalen Brunson. Brunson is shooting 50% from three this season, which is incredible. His assists are up, obviously. You know, we said that coming into the season where we want Brunson to be more of a facilitator. If there's any part of his game that can grow, is his passing. But I think that will just grow with time, with his chemistry, with Cat. He has chemistry with Bridges, and his chemistry with, if he gets it with Jericho Sims until Precious comes back. But one thing I found interesting, he had this great game, and he's only shooting 37% from mid-range this season. And that's uncanny from Jalen Brunson. We know him to be this, obviously, great mid-range shooter. Look, it's only five games, I know. But he's still balling out while only shooting 37% from mid-range. And I think that Cleveland game kind of skewed these numbers because, what was he, like 9 for 26 in that game or something like that?
Yeah.
But
that was an off game.
But, yeah, versus the Heat, amazing. Versus the Detroit Pistons, amazing. Dropped 36 in three quarters. So what have you seen from Brunson in these last couple of games that –
I definitely noticed that he's not finishing at the rim as you'd expect. Usually Jalen Brunson gets to the rim and he gets a good look. You can usually bank that, take that to the bank every single time. For some reason, he's just not finishing as well. You know, I'll chalk it up to, you know, maybe a little bit of rust still at this point in time. But, you know, I was happy to see him light it up against Detroit, especially from the three-point land, because I felt like he wasn't taking that many. And when he did, he wasn't really close, in my opinion. But, you know, taking some positives away from the Detroit game, he's looking better. And I know that finishing in the paint, that's his bread and butter. I know that will come.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of shots, so he's shooting 63% at the rim. He's 19-30 at the rim. Mid-range, he's shooting 15 of 41. He's shooting 30% mid-range at the rim. So, you know, this year, these first five games have been a struggle for him mid-range-wise. But these obviously will improve, and he's doing this while still playing extremely well. So, obviously, we're just nitpicking at certain things, but we kind of want to go through the numbers and, you know, see what the Knicks can improve on. But, yeah, versus the Heat game, I thought he looked like JB versus the Miami Heat, especially in that third quarter. Hit some big shots, hit a step back three there, looked like himself. And obviously with the Pistons games, he looked absolutely incredible. Smart Kid says, how many shots do we want Brunson taking? 15? That's the beauty of this Knicks team, Chris, is I don't like if Brunson gives me. As long as we get the win, obviously we know Brunson's going to have his all-star numbers, but I don't want to put a number on how many shots he's going to take. Obviously, he's going to take a lot of shots. Him and Kat are going to take majority of the shots, but I don't know, fit like 15.
I say 15 plus. Yeah. Those are, you know, Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, those are the guys you want shooting the ball. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Mikal Bridges, you could probably throw in there as well. Even OG Anunoby when he has it going. But like you said, that's the beauty of this team. Anybody can just step up and be the guy for that night.
Yeah.
But we all know Jalen Brunson, he's going to get his shots up. And honestly, wouldn't you want Jalen Brunson taking the majority of the shots too? I would.
Duh.
I trust him. That's our captain.
That's Cat. Melissa says, of course, JB is going to be a little off. He broke his hand and didn't have an off season. Yes, we're seeing like glimpses of his, obviously, versus the Pistons, he was absolutely incredible. So that could contribute to his mid-range kind of being off a little bit. But his three-point shot, he's shooting, 50% from three this season. 13 of 26, 11 of 22 from non-corner threes. So Brunson has just been incredible to start the season. And we just have to keep on with the momentum. Boy, oh boy, this Knicks team.
Any worries? Any worries on Brunson from you at this point in time?
No. There's no worries about JB. There's no worries.
Just keep him healthy, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's no worries. I mean, we know the thing about Brunson, like we're talking about like being worried about him and he just dropped 36 and three quarters. But the thing about Brunson is, you know, we know he's going to show up in the playoffs and you know he's going to find his chemistry with Cat and we've already seen it. So definitely not worried about Jalen Brunson. Dorkasaurus says, I feel like JB is struggling to readjust after adding new things to his games. More lobs, more passing, more threes. Tony says, another major thing is the team overall and assists is very impressive and they don't turn the ball over. Smart Kid says, I wouldn't want Jalen taking the most shots. I'd want him to be selective and be the closer. You want your best player taking the most shots. Yeah. But Tony, like, yeah, the assist numbers, back-to-back games with 30-plus assists. And the Knicks are so, like I said this in the postgame, Chris, they're selfless. Like, every player on the team just wants to win. Every player in that starting five just wants to win. Yeah. Mikal's not going to care if he scores 15. Ananobi's not going to care if he scores 9 or 11, as long as they're doing many other things on the basketball court. Cat and JB are going to form chemistry. They're going to continue to do their thing, but... Yeah, the assist, Chris, amazing. I mean, the assist to turnover ratio is crazy. And we're only five games in here, guys.
Yeah, that's been surprising. You know, that's been the surprising thing about these past five games. You know, we thought it's going to take a lot longer. And look, I think it's still going to get better. You know, we were saying 20, 30 games down the line, this team is going to look, you know, great. Five games in, they're looking pretty damn good. And when they're swinging the ball like that all around, everybody's touching the ball and you're still getting a wide open, you know, 3-point shot at the end of it. That's amazing. And that type of basketball, that type of offensive basketball is going to win you many, many games. If you think about it, that's what Knicks fans have been asking for forever, right? Yeah. Let's stop with the ball stopping. Let's stop with the ISO ball. Let's pass the rock around, get a good shot. And now not only are we getting good shots, we got some pretty damn good guys taking these shots. So, you know, this team is going to be good. This team is going to be up there offensively. One of, if not the best, top three, I'd say.
Let's talk about the bench a little bit, Chris. Deuce McBride. Thoughts about Deuce this year, man. He's been awesome. I love Deuce. I love Deucey.
Deuce's story is just so awesome. And, you know, someone who couldn't crack a rotation or even, you know, he was just bouncing back and forth between the G League to having the moments he had in the playoffs, you know, last season. And now he's just keeps looking better and better and better. You know, he has the confidence. He doesn't look lost out there when he's trying to, you know, run the team a bit. I think he could be a sixth man for us, you know? You think Deuce is going to grab that sixth man of the year?
He can definitely grab it. I kind of, like that was our bold prediction before the season. But yeah, Deuce McBride this year, 66% efficiency field goal percentage, 82% solid at his position, finishing 71% of the time at the rim, shooting 45% from mid range, 50% from three, 12 of 24 from three from Deuce McBride. Just look at these three. Deuce McBride is 12 of 24 from three. Karl Anthony Towns is 11 of 17 from three. Jalen Brunson is 13 of 26 from three. That's 50%. Mikal Bridges is 12 of 31 from three. That's 39%, excuse me. Josh Hart is 29%, 6 of 21. But like I said, I want Josh Hart to continue to shoot this. And Anobi's 8 of 23. But yeah, going back to Deuce, 12 of 24 from three. And most of those shots are non-corner threes or, you know, they're the long threes, 10 to 18 from non-corner threes. Yeah, man. Had that scare versus the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think with the knee or something like that. But obviously he came back. But yeah, he's going to be obviously a big part of our team's success this year, Deuce McBride. And like you said, obviously we know his story. We know his growth. Defense has been great.
And I think, look, now looking back, and I hate to go back, but looking back now at the, you know, obviously adding Dante DiVincenzo to this trade for Karl-Anthony Towns, the Knicks must have seen Deuce McBride and the way he was just trending with his with the way he works and what he was doing out there. I think he ultimately made them feel comfortable in adding Dante DiVincenzo, because I'm not saying that, you know, Deuce is out there putting up the amount of threes Dante did, but you know, when Deuce is playing the way he's playing, and then you got other guys obviously stepping up, guys like Mikal obviously adding to the scoring punch as well. You could see where the Knicks kind of were probably motivated to, all right, let's get this done. Deuce McBride, he's, you know, if I didn't choose Mikal Bridges as what, you know, which Nick impressed me the most, he'd definitely be right there at second. Because it's gotten to the point now, for me at least, that when Deuce shoots the ball, I'm expecting that thing to drop almost every single time.
Likewise, and the thing that has been impressive this season are his steals. Deuce McBride's steals percentage is 2.2%. It's amazing at his position. So McBride is playing good defense along with great offense, and he's you know, incredible. I mean, there's not much we can say about Deuce, but campaign has kind of, you know, he's had his moments a little bit this season. Hasn't really got it going yet. Obviously, he's injured now, so hope for the best for campaign. But obviously, he's a veteran, and you know, he'll get it. But it's normally campaign, Deuce, and Jericho. We talked about Jericho early on in the pod. But somebody said it earlier. It's just Precious, right, Chris? I mean, I think Precious would kind of solidify things on that bench. And when you have Precious and you can float, you can play Sims or Porty a little bit with Deuce, hopefully with the healthy campaign. Obviously, we have Daddy A, which I feel like Daddy A can get in there a little bit more. But
I don't know. Absolutely. Look, after the first game of the season, throwing him out there against the Celtics, we thought we'd see a little bit more of Daddy A, especially in these past few games, too. But but look, again, that 8-man rotation, right? I kind of wish it wasn't in place right now, but I think, yeah, definitely when Precious comes back, I think that's kind of going to put everybody back into place, per se, and it adds to our depth, right? And you got Jericho Sims. You're not worried about playing him big-time minutes, per se. Huck Porty could probably get a little bit of burn here and there. Maybe they could ease in some of the other guys, too, just for a minute or two.
Yeah, yeah. Immortal, what's going on in the chat, Deuce? Yes, Nick P. Campaign is hurt right now. He is doubtful against the Houston Rockets. Hopefully, Campaign can get out there soon. Precious Achiuwa is back practicing, so hopefully Precious can make it back this week. If not, he is getting super close. Obviously, Precious Achiuwa is another major piece coming in off that bench. So you got Deuce and Precious as your two guys off the bench who you can trust, right? And then it's Campaign. Seems like Tom Thibodeau trusts him. Who can, you know, obviously hit a big shot here or there. And then it's literally whoever Tom Thibodeau, depending on the matchup, right? Because we saw Huck Porty a little bit versus Cleveland. Thought he would go back to him. Huck Porty was out there kind of did a fairly good job, I thought, guarding the big man in Cleveland. $200 million man.
Evan Mobley,
yeah. Did a good job against him. So yeah. I think it's going to be matchup based a little bit with the bench. Thibs, obviously, loves mixing and matches Mikal with them as well. So as the season goes on, when Precious comes back, I think things will kind of be solidified on the bench. So, but they've been playing okay. You know, they've been playing well.
So far, so good. And again, let's not forget, you know, Big Mitch is still on the mend, you know. So who knows when Mitchell Robinson will be back. And that'll be another interesting piece to incorporate into this team, man. That already is gelling pretty nicely through five games.
Big Mitch, come back soon. Come back soon. So Houston Rockets, Chris, this week. Houston Rockets, the Hawks, the New York Knicks have. And let me get their other team. I think the Rockets, the Hawks, and Milwaukee, who is 1-5, I believe. And Indiana, four games this week. Knicks have had a couple of days off in between these games, and it's kind of like, damn, another two days off, but rest up, right? So
Yeah, definitely get the rest because some of these games are going to be a little tough, man. I expect the Rockets game to be tough.
You do?
I do. That's a pretty good team right there.
Any game on the road is tough. You know, Rockets, they just beat Dallas. So you're right. They just beat Dallas in Dallas. So that game's going to be tough. At Atlanta, I think that game's going to be easy if we kind of handle Atlanta.
They're saying Trae Young is back. Now that DeJounte Murray is no longer there, they're saying the old Trae Young is back. So I don't know, man. That could be a trap.
Dorkasaurus says, who is the biggest threat to the Knicks on Houston? It's Green. I think it's Green.
I'd say Sengun, actually, man.
You know, Sengun hasn't really been playing well for Houston. But, yeah, he's a threat as well. But I think it's Green.
Sengun's game overall, he could stretch the floor. Post-up game, Karl-Anthony Towns light.
OG and Anobi got that, man. I mean, first when they came to the MSG, Anobi was literally just, I mean, Sengun could have scored on him. So OG got that. OG got that at the back.
Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, look, if it results in a Knicks win, I hope I'm wrong.
Melissa says we're going to need Mitch for Embiid.
It's not looking pretty out there in 76er land, I'll tell you that much.
No, it's not. Rockets are a good young team. Yeah, Rockets are good, man. It's not going to be just no pushover. Hawks play hard. But, yeah, I mean, look, if the Knicks can continue doing what they've been doing these last couple of games, I think these next two games are obviously winnable. Every game is winnable, obviously. But what we just want to see is the Knicks grow from their wins. The game against Indiana was great. Heat, Pistons, and it seems like the Knicks are finding something on offense, and their three-point volume has improved these last couple of games. It was a concern in the first three games, but their three-point volume has improved. And, look, you can try to double Brunson. I mean, he's just going to pass it to the open man. Him and Kat seem to have a chemistry going here with Kat at the top of the key, and it seems like every time Kat shoots, it's going in now. But that's what makes his team just hard to guard, man. And you have Mikal floating around. His mid-range has been awesome. Just awesome.
Just keep it rolling.
Yeah.
That's what we need. We need this momentum to keep it going.
Salute. Yeah, Chris. So, we talked about the stats. We talked about the Knicks starters. Precious Achiuwa coming back soon. Anything? So a lot of positives tonight, obviously. Anything you've seen that you wanted to improve from this team? It could be starters-wise. It could be just any little – I mean, nitpicking here, but
– I don't really got nothing, to be honest with you, man. In my opinion, yeah, Knicks should have went 3-0. We had that Cleveland game, man. You know, it was a weird vibe, though. And unfortunately, we couldn't hold on to the lead. If I had a nitpick, I hate to say it, but, like, I felt like the Knicks, our starting five could have rested a bit more in the Detroit game. Again, I don't want to start the narrative with Tibbs and all that, but, I mean, we were up big, and I felt like, come on, all right,
hey,
like, don't risk it, let these guys, you know, rest. But
hey,
it's Tibbs though. I get it.
I think it was the Warriors just lost, they lost a 30-point lead, I think, and went into overtime. So, you know, Tibbs is looking at that like, that's probably
why it happened, to be honest.
But no, I think Kat's face when he got subbed back then, he was like, what? Yeah, but look, it's going to, like, hey, it's not a perfect world, but the 2 days off, the weekend off, so rest up, and we good, man. We good. CM says in the chat, so what's going on, CM? Do we have to wait a year for Dante to be eligible for a retrade? I believe so. Don't quote me on that, but I believe so. But yeah,
I'm actually shocked that Dante isn't lighting it up like he was in the preseason, man. But it, again, just goes to show you that you can't take preseason for exactly what it is. Yeah.
Tony says Knicks win 7 in a row. Let's go. Let's go. Wrench built. Shamit will be back too. He can make maybe Mitch and Shamit make a return around the same time. Yeah, I mean, Shamit's another guy who was in the rotation when he was here during the preseason. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to nitpick at things, Chris, it's the 8-man rotation currently. We saw it with the Miami Heat. Dibs only played 8 guys versus the Pistons, obviously, but guys aren't playing heavy minutes at all. Bridges is averaging 36 minutes, Hart 35, and Anobi 34, Brunson 31, and Cat 30 minutes a game. Seems like Cat is the guy in the starting lineup who obviously is consistently not really, you know, he's not playing heavy minutes, and Brunson too. So if you wanted a nitpick, we're just like nitpicking a little bit here and there. You can say that. And but yeah, man, this Knicks team has just been playing well, more of the same, and we just love to see it from the squad. Trivia, Chris?
Let's do trivia. All right, you ready, Ant?
Those of you in the chat, we do trivia every single podcast episode. Last week, Chris got it wrong. This week, he has to ask me a question. Let's do it. All
right, here we go. Prior to this season, what year was it when the New York Knicks starting five each scored in double figures for 3 straight games? A, 2013, B, 2015, C, 2009, D, 2020.
First of all, we got Coach Sierra in the chat who hasn't even been here in a minute. What's going on, Coach? Appreciate you in the chat.
Coach.
It's a good year for the Knicks. Good year.
Nice roster.
So this is not 4 straight games. This is 3. Obviously, 3. We know 4 straight games is 1989. 2009. Was that the Duhon team? When Duhon was balling? 2020, RJ. I'm trying to picture these lineups in my head. I think the easy answer is 2013, obviously, because it was a good team that we had. Melo, Chandler. But I don't think... Something's gravitating me towards 2009 for some reason.
Is it the chat?
The chat. People are saying 2009, but I want to say 2013. 2015. Who the heck was on the team in 2015? I know we were bad. We were bad. All right, Chris. I don't want to take too much time. I'm going to go see 2009. Final answer.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
C, 2009 is correct.
Let's go.
You got it.
Can you read off the roster?
I like what Monkey says in the chat. He says, pre-Melo. Melo wasn't passing shit.
Oh, so Tony got it right. Wrench Bill got it right.
That's the roster that had guys like Errol Barron, Jonathan Bender, Wilson Chandler, Eddie Curry, Tony Douglas, Chris Duhon, Danilo Gallinari, Al Harrington, Larry Hughes. Duhon
was on that roster.
David Lee.
I knew Duhon was on that roster.
Tracy McGrady. Let's go. Let's go, T-Mac. Shout out to T-Mac. Once a Nick, always a Nick, right?
Yes, sir. As always.
It's crazy. At the time, it was 2009. 3 straight games, man, where each starting five player scored in double figures. That's crazy. Knicks had some pretty good rosters over the years, you know? I guess that's debatable, though.
Not better than this year, I'll tell you that.
That's not for better sure.
than this year. That's and that's why, obviously, sure. these first, the four straight games of the double digits in scoring since 1989. And look, I think it can just continue, Chris. And Buzzer Beater says I got it right.
Shout out to Immortal. He said Clyde said it in the broadcast.
Absolutely. He did?
Yeah, this was a, you know, this was a layup for you, man. You weren't paying attention.
No, I wasn't. I totally missed that one. But I, for some reason, I pictured 2009, and I was like, Chris Duhon. And for some reason,
you automatically went nope.
No, I don't know. I just thought, yeah. I mean, that, I don't know. But yeah, got it right. So let's go. Excited for this Knicks team, man. This coming week is going to be great, obviously. The guys are playing extremely well. Got a couple of injuries. We just got to watch. Cat is playing well. Brunson's playing well. Just more of the same. This road trip continues, Chris, at Houston, at Atlanta, and then we come home. And I guess you wanted to touch on a rumor that came about really quick today.
Is that the... Is that the Giannis link to Knicks rumor? Rumors are starting early.
Yeah, so obviously we're going to touch on it a little bit. But today a rumor came about saying that the Knicks are possibly, I think it was from, who was it? A reporter said, I forgot the reporter's name. Excuse me.
It was
Mark Stein, I think.
Mark Stein.
He said if Giannis was to become available, then the New York Knicks were to be a team to try to get Giannis Antetokounmpo. And I saw that. I'm like,
Here we go.
But no, right? I mean, it sounds crazy, but I think the Knicks are building something here. So I think, obviously, we traded a lot of assets for Mikal. We traded... we have the big contract in Cat, so you can kind of, you can make the money work if you were to trade for Giannis. But I don't know, Chris.
I don't know. Just a little, here's a little excerpt from the article. It says, since the Karl-Anthony Towns trade, it says, more than one rival team has wondered out loud whether the Knicks made the trade for Towns to later use him in a deal for Antetokounmpo. So it's like, I doubt it. I think if you bring in Giannis and you just, again, make such a big change like that, you're just messing with the whole flow of this team more so than you did when you traded Julius and Dante, right? I don't think they want to go to that again. And so far, again, five games, I like what I'm seeing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But again, we're not, this is why we're not the coach and we're not the general manager, but I don't see this happening.
A lot of people saying, we good. I'm good on Giannis. We got the wing stop. We good. Giannis will end up in OKC.
Beautiful. Isn't that beautiful? We're at a point now where we're like, Giannis, nah, we're good. You in your prime, Giannis? We good. Nah, we're good. We got something here already.
The year is 2024 on November 3rd, and we're saying no thank you to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Wow. I never thought we would be saying that. But
what a time,
man. I mean, we're building something here. Cat loves it in New York. Brunson, Anobi, Hart, Bridges. But I don't think you can mess that up. I think those guys are here for the long run. Obviously, you can tinker with some of the bench. You know, maybe down the line, Josh Hart is that odd man out and involved in a trade or something. Maybe. But I'm just saying, it's funny how we're like, we're good, yep. Man. But I think he will end, like, OKC will probably throw out like 10 first round picks for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Something like that, yeah.
But the Bucks are not, like, we thought we were going to worry about the Bucks this year. And it, I mean, they almost beat the Cavs. Mitchell hit a game winner. Yeah. But I'm not worried about the Bucks. They're not that deep. Yeah.
Again, another, you know, you saw Giannis and you saw Dame preseason. Looked like they figured it out. They're on their way to having, you know, probably having a great regular season. And nope, so far, again, it's early. They could still figure it out, but it's not looking pretty out there either for the Bucks.
Yeah. So CM says OG Mikal for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I don't think I'm doing that. I don't think I'm doing that. I'm not messing with the flow.
Yeah, I'm not either. And then later down, a source came out and said that it's highly unlikely that the Knicks will dabble in. I think there will be many other teams that will go after Giannis, but I do think that he will get traded. And it's crazy. You know, a lot of Knicks fans were hoping that it was going to be Giannis, but I mean, this team that we built, I mean, we made two major trades this past summer and things are looking good. I'm not going to mess that up. I'm not. And I don't think Leon is going to mess that up as well. So that's it on Giannis.
Yeah. And also, he's been getting hurt, especially when the team needs him the most, you know, down the stretch in the playoffs. So that's another no for me.
It's crazy. November 3rd, we are saying no thank you to Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know, Brunson, Cat, Giannis? Nah, let me stop.
Nah. I mean, Giannis ain't stretching the floor.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, that's so we just wanted to bring that rumor to you guys, and it seems like a lot of you in the chat agree that you don't want Giannis on the team. We building something, man. I mean, it's only game five. We've seen some great things from this team, and just it's only up from here, you know, and – I think, and look, and B, the East is tough. You know, Cavs are playing well. Magic lost. Man, that sucks for the Magic, losing Paolo for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but, and he was balling out, man.
Yeah, he was balling.
50 piece, right before.
Yeah, man, he was balling out. So Magic, when he gets back, are going to be good. Indiana is kind of struggling right now. Celtics are, you know, the Boston Celtics playing extremely well, and it's the 76ers are kind of a mess right now, but you know, it seems like Joel Embiid is getting closer, Paul George is getting closer. I think we play the 76ers next week, Chris,
and that's NBA game, right?
Yeah, the first NBA Cup game, and that's gonna be the game that Joel Embiid comes back.
Of course. Yeah, of course.
So, but we ready, bring it on. Absolutely. Mr. Embiid, bring it on. We don't remember what you did to Mitch. Tell you that, man. We don't remember. We don't forget that. Sorry.
Tries to pull something like that again early?
Huh?
You think he tries to pull something like that? Nah. Like what he did to Mitch early in this NBA Cup game?
Nah. We ready. We ready this time. Just get the dub. But great win. Great upcoming schedule for the Knicks. More of the same, guys. More of the same. So appreciate every single one of you joining tonight. Once again, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Go on the app or Spotify, type in Knicks Nation. You see Chris and I. Please leave a review on that end, on the audio side. And yeah, next week, the podcast will be next Monday because the Knicks play on Sunday. Anything else you want to touch on before we head up on out of here?
Nah, I'm good. We got through the Giannis bit. I didn't even want to talk about it.
I didn't either, but I thought it was to bring it up because, you know, a lot of Knicks fans were talking about it on X, and it seems like a lot of people in the chat are very passionate about that. So, oh, and shout out to RJ Barrett playing well in Toronto. Balling out, 30 actually.
Pieces. 30 pieces, man. Shout out to RJ.
Yeah. So, guys, this Knicks team is special. More of the same. Hopefully we can improve this week and keep building snowball effect and just keep being the great team that we are. I'm Anthony from Knicks Nation.
I'm Chris.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Peace.
Peace.
Thanks for listening. Please hit that follow button to stay updated with our latest episodes. And we also greatly appreciate those 5-star reviews. For you video enthusiasts out there, head over to our YouTube channel to catch the podcast in video form. YouTube.com/KnicksNation. You'll find all the relevant links conveniently listed in the show notes below. See you next time.